Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Happy Ash Wednesday to you as well. You've got a wonderful cross on your forehead. Who is responsible for that?
When I have mass with the children at the school, and I ask one of them to do my cross at the end.
Nice. I had the 8:15 Mass this morning at Wauwatosa Catholic School. It's our shared school between St. Bernard and St. Pius parishes, and my associate was at Christ King. And what time was your Mass?
7:45. We start school a little earlier in Racine. One of the things I love Lent, but one of the things I love is that I think that even the children seem to capture the spirit of the season. I think it's easy for people, adults and children alike, to do that.
This is one of those days that really captures not only kids, but just captures something in a lot of us. As we know as priests, big Mass attendance today and people that you don't see all the time. And it's not even a holy day of obligation. Mm-hmm. This isn't a day where we have to come to Mass. It's good that we might do that. But there's something about it that just captures us, our need to come back to the basics, our need to come back to repentance.
Lenten is very organized also because of the observances of Lent. If you've been to Mass today already, or if you are coming to Mass later, we always read this Gospel from Matthew that gives us these three pillars, these three observances of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, as a way to structure Lent. And I think that's one of the reasons why Lent is so good for us.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that after I read the Gospel. So why don't I start with the Gospel? Remember, we're still in the C cycle of readings on Sundays. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel. Where in the Gospel?
Chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It's the temptations. Every year, we read on the first Sunday in Lent, we read from one of the synoptic Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, but about the temptations always.
So just to be clear, this is for the first Sunday of Lent. So not today on Ash Wednesday, but coming up this Sunday. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him in reply, It also says, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time.
Great gospel. The first point I would make is that in all three synoptics, they are different. And Mark, for instance, will not get into detail on what the temptations are. But the thing they do have in common is that all three say that the Spirit led Jesus into the desert. So this is an experience. The experience of the temptations is an experience that is willed by God, willed by the Holy Spirit, because it says that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus to experience this.
Correct. And then the three temptations here that are enumerated were stones to become bread, to have all the kingdoms, and then for Jesus to throw himself down, and Jesus' response to all three of those. But yeah, the temptations, that's obviously the main kind of focus of thought. I know for me, and I think for many who will hear this weekend, is temptations. So the Spirit leads Jesus then into these temptations for the reason that God the Father desires. But question for you, kind of a theological question, are we intentionally led into temptation then?
Well, St. Augustine used to say that temptations are good because they show you who you are. So you could take, as we have discussed this many times, as a process of identity, of discovering who Jesus is, who we are when we read it also. Temptations tell us where our weaknesses are. The problem would be to fall into temptation, and we pray that we will not fall into temptation, but to know who we are, to be self-aware, to know what are our weaknesses, to be aware of what they now call emotional intelligence, to see the reaction that you provoke in others, to be aware of oneself, to know who we are. I think that's important, and that's a process that Jesus goes through. The other point to make about identity, the devil asks Jesus if you are... He doubts Jesus' identity. That's the main temptation for Jesus will be not to be the Son of God, not to be who he is. So that's another way to look at this gospel.
I think, and I still haven't quite resolved this, what is the role of temptation in our life? I wouldn't go so far as to say it's sent by God, but I think it's clear, and we just know this, that there's always going to be temptation around. We're never going to get away from this. And it's really hard. It's hard for, as we're striving for purity, striving to avoid sin, to avoid those things that draw us away from God and from others, we can get really frustrated by the temptations and become really negative about that.
Yeah.
And think maybe I'm doing something wrong. And I always go back to this gospel, whether that be in the confessional or in talking to someone. Even Jesus was tempted. We're all going to be tempted. But then the responsibility is placed on us, on our shoulders. What do we do about it? What role do we give to these temptations? Yeah. So that's really important, because as we go out into life, what we want sometimes is an unconfronted life, a life in which everything is perfect and we're not going to be tempted by evil. We're not going to have difficulties in life. And that was never promised to us. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we have that, but that really is what we're trying to do. And we self-medicate in so many ways in the world today. This is the gospel is a simple reminder. We're going to have temptations and we have a responsibility for dealing with them.
One thing, and based on the scripture also, it says, look at the text we just read. It says, after many other temptations, those are three are chosen and explained, but the devil is tempting Jesus in many more ways, I think. And it would be good to preach, or one possibility to preach about, when we think of temptation, we think about purity. What about the temptation of anger, for instance? One that has been very present in my life, or the temptation of not caring for the opinion of others, or the temptation of, I think the one in the middle, the second one about power, how does this translate into our lives? Temptations can be in many other things than the ones we normally think about. And I think it would be a very good homily to help people discuss, expand the definition of temptation and see what really is tempting us in our lives.
And to take that as far as you can take it. So to think about those temptations, those things that you do that are really, truly, genuinely uncomfortable to think about, or really, really challenging. Mm-hmm. So yes, we can talk about those things, and those are very important. But you know, what if it's something that really involves our spouse and the way that we treat them, or selfishness? Or I mean, there are so many ways to do that. But I think, because I fall into this, so we can give I'm a little bit too comfortable with naming those temptations. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I got my list of 10 things, rather than, hey, here's something I really is going to make me uncomfortable to think about and to pray about. Here's the perfect time in Lent to say, I put this on the table, Lord. I surrender this to you, and let's work on this now.
And another idea that I think you will like, one, I would suggest also that the three observances of Lent respond to three temptations we all have. Prayer is the temptation to live as if God didn't exist, so we don't pray. Then the second one would be fasting, the temptation to think that we need to satisfy all our needs, and we are the center of the universe. Fasting means emptying yourself. And the third one, the temptation to live as if the poor didn't exist. And that's why we have almsgiving. That's a possibility also. It sounds good. It connects as Wednesday with the first Sunday in Lent. But whatever we do, whatever we preach, it's about awareness. Lent is we call it a penitential season, but the idea is to come out of Lent ready to celebrate Holy Week and the resurrection of Jesus.
Just what you said, the three temptations that Jesus goes through, that's the connection then to traditionally in the church Lent. We'd say it's a season of almsgiving as we look to the poor, of fasting as we think about those resources we have, the food that we have, and those who go hungry, and penance or prayer, our reliance to God, God, our humility before God the Father.
And one of the things we know is that fasting was connected to almsgiving. I think we have lost that sense of connection. We've said this before also. If you give something up, fasting should translate into money we save, and then with that money we help the poor in many, many ways. Many parishes like yours or mine, we have programs during Lent that we collect money collected through these observances, and then we can do something good for someone else. Lent could become very self-centered, as many other things, and we have to avoid that temptation.
So what Jesus does here is he moves forward to 40 days of this time in the desert. It's an intentional time. However, he's called to be there. Use this season well. Always I say that. Use the season well. Make it an intentional time. Mm-hmm. I had 40 days. Add in Sundays and a couple other days in there, so it's a little bit longer than 40 days on the calendar.
46 in total.
Yeah, 46 days in total, but use this time well. Quick little note, during the Lenten season, pay close attention to the first readings. The first readings during Lent are very, very beautiful steps through salvation history. Mm-hmm. There's often a connection between the first reading and the gospel always, but during Lent, sometimes some really profound connections there. But look at the first readings. Today's is very beautiful, and I just looked ahead at them, and they're all just a great, again, walk through salvation history.
Very good. Should we meet again next Wednesday, Philip?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's continue our Ash Wednesday, our fasting and staying away from meat, and we'll come together next Wednesday.
See you there.
All right.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.